Today, Australian unemployment climbs, as expected, but... Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news. Well, the latest data from the ABS showed that the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate rose to 4.5% in April, as the number of employed people fell by 19,000, while the number of unemployed people rose by 33,000. The number of unemployed people looking for full-time work increased by 11,000, and unemployed people looking for part-time work increased by 22,000. Actually, the total number of people employed fell for the first time this year, driven by 56,400 fewer people aged 15 to 24 years old working in April. Youth unemployment is now at 11.1%. That's the highest since October 2021. IFM chief economist Alex Joiner noted the sharp rise in youth unemployment has often been a precursor to economic weakness, but they also may be bearing the brunt of AI-induced changes in hiring patterns. Now, this overall result was a surprise, given that economists had expected employment to grow by about 15,000, and it may be evidence that the combined effect of the three consecutive rate rises and the energy shock created by the war in Iran is now arriving sooner than expected. This is, as Morgan Stanley's equity strategist Chris Nichols said in the week, the slowdown that we have to have if we want to tame inflation. But it doesn't make it any more fun, particularly for investors with the exposure to the domestic economy, or, I would add, for those out of work. This is now the highest level of unemployment since November 2021, suggesting the labour market is cooling faster than anticipated, and it prompted traders to shade back their expectations for rate rises slightly, with a June rise now less likely. The central bank next meets on June the 15th and 16th. The markets reacted with a two-year government bond yield, which reflects interest rate expectations, down to 4.618%. The 10-year bond dropped to 4.957%, and the 30-year was last at 5.447%, and the Aussie was at 71.34 US cents and 53.08 UK pence, and the ASX was up on the day, mirroring moves in the markets. Now, on one hand, all of this was pretty much expected, as I discussed yesterday, and the RBA had modelled higher unemployment as we head into the end of the year. On one hand, this represents data from the modernised approach to measuring unemployment, as I discussed last month, and the numbers are likely to wander around in the months ahead, so let's not get too carried away. Diana Messina, Deputy Chief Economist at AMP, noted that the April fall in employment is unlikely to be the start of persistent weakness in jobs across the board. She does expect the jobless rate to tick up, but it's likely to be a slow move as the leading indicators of employment from job ads data to business surveys are actually still holding up. And naturally, the ABS conducted the employment survey over a period that overlapped the Easter holidays, which could contribute to abnormally large movements in the figures. And NAB, in their notes, said this data can be volatile in any case from month to month, but this is a soft print and one that challenges the RBA's judgment of labour market resilience, so they push back the expected timing of the RBA's next hike to August from June previously. The ABS said that compared to what we usually see in April, more people remained unemployed this month. Both full-time and part-time employment fell by 11,000 and 8,000 people respectively. A drop in female employment drove the overall fall in employment, with full-time down 19,000 people and part-time down 13,000 people. This is the first fall in female employment since August 2025. Male employment rose by 8,000 people for full-time and 5,000 for part-time. So all up, the underemployment rate fell 0.1 percentage points to 5.8% in April, while the underutilization rate was 11.3%. The participation rate fell by 0.1 percentage points to 66.7% in seasonally adjusted terms, and the participation rate remained at 70.8% for males, but fell by 0.1 percentage points to 62.8% for females. But we should note that the hours worked rose 0.8% in April, rising by 15.8 million hours, meaning that hours worked per person actually went up by 0.9% in April. Across the states, seasonally adjusted unemployment was 5% in Tasmania, 4.8% in Victoria, 4.5% in New South Wales, 4.2% in Queensland and South Australia, and 4.1% in Western Australia. Now, Treasurer Jim Chalmers told reporters in Perth on Thursday afternoon that the RBA would obviously factor this employment data into the decision that they take at the next opportunity. Nationally, the unemployment rate ticked up a bit, as we have been expecting it to do. But we've created more than 1.2 million jobs in the 4 years that this government has been in office. Nice spin there, Jim. And as I discussed yesterday, RBA Assistant Governor Sarah Hunter told a Bloomberg forum in Sydney on Tuesday that policymakers are increasingly concerned about inflation expectations becoming untethered. And she warned that if they were to break loose, then a sharp economic downturn may be needed to bring them back under control. Treasury's latest forecast, released with the federal budget, showed unemployment rising to 4.5% in 26-27 year and 27-28, before falling to 4.25% in the year 29-30. Although, in a downside scenario of the economy, in which the Middle East remains in a protracted war and the price of oil jumps to $200 a barrel this year, the unemployment rate would rise to 5% in 26-27 and 27-28 before drifting back down to 4.5% in 29-30. The RBA's baseline forecasts show the unemployment rate hitting 4.3% by the end of this year and drifting up to 4.7% in June 2028. But in an adverse scenario modelled by the central bank, unemployment could reach 5.1% by then if the Middle East conflict drags on and the price of oil peaks at $145 a barrel this year. The RBA's inflation fighting efforts will be made harder by two additional factors. The enormous boom in household wealth in the past 2 years, it's about $3 trillion all up, and the fact that spending driven by structural changes in the economy, such as investment data centres, the energy transition and the critical minerals sector, will continue almost irrespective of where interest rates get to. So while rates will remain on hold for the next few weeks, it's worth remembering that the inflation threat has not passed. The Straits of Hormuz remain all but shut. Oil prices remain elevated and physical fuel supplies are under ever-growing pressure. The truth is, we can make little of these employment numbers, though the next few months of inflation data are going to remain elevated because oil prices haven't come down yet as the Middle East conflict continues. And the state government budgets really so far contain more spending, which will add to inflationary pressures, so upward interest rates possibly, and probably more unemployment. The inflation forecasts of Treasury and the RBA are well above the central bank's 2-3% inflation target. Like the RBA, Treasury expects inflation to spread beyond the petrol bowser to the price of other goods and services, and Treasury warns that living standards will go backwards as a result of higher price growth. And they say real wages will decline in 25 and 26. So we can certainly expect higher unemployment ahead, and that is not going to be pretty. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.